Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Chav Gimel. We are on the second line from the top. Now the Mishnah taught us that one may take a hammer, use the hammer to crack nuts on Shabbos, and Rabbi explained, was speaking even this type of hammer, which is used by a blacksmith, which is absolutely muktzah. It can be used to crack nuts because one may use a keli which is designated for prohibited use, davar shemalachtei le'iser. You can use it letzayir gufay for the sake of using the kli itself for permissible use, such as cracking nuts. Says the Gemara on the second line from the top, Esvi Abai l'Rabba. So Abai asked the Rabba from the following brisa, how can you say that a muktzah item can be used for letzayir gufay for the sake of a permissible function? We have a brisa which speaks about a meducha, which is a mortar, which is used for a malacha, to grind stuff in it, to grind, for instance, garlic. It's a malacha of toichen. So the Baisa says, meducha, im yesh bo shum. If there is shum, there is some garlic sitting in this mortar, metalten oisa, one may move the meducha. Because, as Rashi says, he's moving it agav shum on account of the content, account of the garlic which is found inside. Vim lav, but if it doesn't have shum inside, so one may not move this meducha, it's muktzah. So we see that he can't, for instance, if he wants to sit on it, so it's a tzirich gufay, it's for the sake of a tashmish heter, he can't move this thing because it's malach delisr. So Zakashan Rabba, now interesting, the Rashba points out, why then could you move it when there's shum inside? Since when could you move muktzah just because there's a non-muktzah item on it? So he said the interesting point that the meducha, this mortar, really has a dual function. It's meant to be used for the malach itself, for grinding of the items, but also to contain the ground material within it. So while it's holding the ground material within it, it's considered like a container. It's meant to be used for that as well, for a shimush heter. So at that point, it's not considered muktzah. So that's why we have that distinction between when it has something in it, then it's not muktzah, but otherwise it's muktzah. In any case, we have a kasha rab. Why can't he move the mortar for the sake of tzayrach gufay, to use it, to sit on it? Amar lei, so Rabbi responded, Hamani Rabbi Nechemya hi. This brisa goes according to Rabbi Nechemya, who has a very unique shita when it comes to moving things on Shabbos. He says, the Amar ein kli nitel el tzayrach tashmishay. Any type of kli, even an ordinary keli, even a kli shemalachti laheter, not designated for malach, any ordinary kli cannot be moved only for the sake of the Tzorech Tashmisha, for its designated purpose, for its designated use. You can't misuse the Kli on Shabbos. So this Braisa, which tells us that the Meducha is Muktzah, and can't be moved for the sake of sitting on it, is following Rabbi Nechemya, who holds that you can't misuse the item, you can't move it for the sake of a use, which is not its designated use. Eisvei, so we asked him from the following halacha. This is a halacha regarding Yom Tov. So the Eli is some thick type of cutting board. One can't move it to use it to cut meat on it. Now this Eli, this cutting board, Rashi explains, is designated mainly for a malacha of Isser, to grind, to cut, to pound the grains, etc. So these things are malachos, which are aser. And this tool is considered to be klisha malach le'iser. So B'Shamah say you can't even use it if you want to cut meat on it on Yom Tov. V'sil matir, they allow, because it's a special allowance for simchas Yom Tov. V'shav, and now they both agree, shem katzav alav basar, if you already cut the meat on it, he cannot use it, he cannot move it any longer. So once again we see that a klisha malachti lisa, which is designated for a prohibited purpose, cannot be used. And it sounds like even letzarech gufa, even if he wants to use it to use it for something, to move it for a permissible use, to sit on it, or to use it for a shimush heter. So the kashan rabba. Says the gemara, savar l'shinuyilei k'rav nechemya. So rabba figured, you know, I could explain this Bryce, I could answer that this Bryce as well is following Shitas Rav Nechemya, who holds that something can only be moved for the sake of its defined purpose. Such as the, just as he answered the previous Bryce. However, Kivan de Shama Laha, Once he heard this, the Amar of Chinen of Bar Shlami Mishmei the Rav, Hakol Moedim, all agree, meaning even the Rabban who disagrees with Rav Nechemya, they will agree when it comes to certain objects, they are considered to be Muktzah and absolutely off limits on Shabbos. Besichi, Zairi, Missouri, these are, Ashi explains, these are tools used by the Tzaboyim, these painters. So these are fragile, delicate tools. The Kivan, the Kavet, allow, since the owner is makvid on them, he's very particular. Not to, they shouldn't get dirty, they shouldn't get out of shape. So miyachadu mokim, he designates for them a place, he places them somewhere, they're meant to stay there, and he doesn't use them for any other function. So since they are these unique type of kelim, they're totally off limits, they're out of mind, out of sight, they're not something which we allow him to use, even for a shimush hetar, even l'tzarach gufay, for permissible function. They're designated for the melacha of iser, they're meant to remain that way. So that's regarding these specific tools. Hachinami. So this is the Gemara saying that when it comes to the ali, this cutting board, or the meducha, the mortar, so Rabbi says, here as well, miyachdu makam, these items are also considered to be fragile and something which the owner is makvid, that they be reserved for their designated purpose, which is the melacha of iser, and therefore they are removed from melachas of heter, and they're considered to be mukta, and therefore you cannot use them even for melacha of heter. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that when the Gemara speaks about miyachad l'umokim, the Gemara doesn't specifically mean that only in that case is it considered to be muktzah because he designates a place for it. It's simply an example. The Gemara is illustrating the fact that the owner is makpid not to misuse these items. So the Gemara illustrates it in this way, that he's miyachad a place for it. He designates a place where it's meant to stay there. But the Gemara doesn't specifically mean that this is a precondition. The point here is that these things are unique and designated specifically to be used for the melachas iser, and they're considered to be muktzah, totally removed from being used for other melachas, or melachas of heter, and therefore one cannot use these even if he wishes to use it l'tzarach gufay for a permissible function. So this explains the halacha of the ali and halacha of the meducha as well. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, we learned Reb Chiya bar Abba and Reb Yechanan. Going back to the hammer, which the Mishnah told us can be used to crack knots. What type of hammer are we speaking about? So he says, we're speaking about kurnas shazahavim, these goldsmiths who use the hammer to flatten out the gold, to make plates. He can use even that hammer, even though it perhaps makes it unsmooth by using it for cracking nuts. Nevertheless, they're not mocked, but they're not particular about not using the hammer for this purpose because, as Rashi explains, in any case, they're going to smooth out the hammer. We learned earlier in Masechet Shabbos that their custom of their minhag was to have this block of metal, this anvil it was called, that they would, the sadon, that they would, as they were proceeding with their craft, they would take the hammer and bang it on that smooth thing to smooth out the bottom of the hammer. So in any case, they readjust their hammer constantly. So it's okay. This hammer was intended also for this type of use. So this is the explanation of Rav Chiya bar Abba named Rav Yochanan. Kurnos shel zahavim shaninu. Rav Shammai bar Abba Amar, Kurnos shel basamim shaninu. Or besamim, that this hammer is speaking about even the hammer used for besamim, for grinding of spices, of fragrances. Although perhaps there's reason to think that the owner is makbid not to get his besamim hammer soiled up. It's okay, it can be used to crack nuts. Says the Gemara, man the Amar the Basamim or the Basamim, according to this Shita, that even the hammer used for Basamim is okay to be used to crack nuts. Although perhaps you would think that the owner is very makpid on this type of hammer, Koshkin the Zahavim, certainly the hammer used for the gold, in which the owner is not makpid, certainly in that case it can use it to crack nuts. Man the Amar Shal Zahavim, however, the other Shita which said that this hammer is discussing the hammer of the goldsmiths, so only over there do we say it can be used for cracking nuts? Aval, debe, samim, kapi dalayu. However, the one which is used for besamim, no. In this case, the owner is extra makpid on it. He's super particular about it. He doesn't want to use it for other purposes, for nuts, lest it gets soiled, and therefore, it's considered to be off limits when it comes to this type of use and its muktzah. So in summary, we learned that a kli, which is malachta le'isser, which is primarily used for prohibited work, for malacha, for instance, the kurnos, this hammer used for the zahavim, these goldsmiths, we can use it letzerich gufay, for the sake of its own use, to use it for a permissible use, for instance, cracking nuts. What about a kli, which is delicate, fragile, and it's called muktzah machmas chisoren kis. It's set aside on account of the of loss of property, of loss of monetary value, meaning the owner is particular about the use of this thing. He doesn't want it to get ruined, to get broken, to get crooked, get out of shape. These things are not allowed to be used, even with Tzarech Kufay. What are examples of muktzah machmas chisoren kis? So we discussed the meducha, the mortar, the eli, this cutting board, this the board which they pound the grains on. We discussed the tools of the tzaboy and the painters, and some say that the hammer of the psamim also falls into this category. Continues the Gemara. Vesakush, vesakarkar, tana rabbanu. Paga, this is a unripe fig, shetamna betevin, which he buried in hay, so that it ripens under there. Vecharara, shetamna begecholim, or this cake which he buried, he covered with gecholim, with coals. First, I'm speaking out that we're not speaking about lit coals, in which there's a concern of a malacha, of lighting a fire. We're speaking about extinguished coals, which are merely warm. So he's placing the cake underneath there. Now, how does he get to this stuff underneath these insulations, which are muktzah? The tevin is muktzah because it's meant to be used for cement. The gecholim are useless. So this is our muktzah. How does he get the thing out? Says Tanakam, in megula miktsasa. So if part of the fig is exposed, and he has direct access to it, motolotatl, then he can go, bimotolotatl, he can lift it off. And there's no concern because the tevin will simply slide off. He's not actually moving the tevin. Vim lav, but if there's nothing revealed, there's nothing exposed, in which he has to get through the muktzah to reach his object, osolotatl, he cannot bimotolotatl. Rabbi Lezer ben Tadoyo Eimer, there's another solution. Toichvin bekush, oy bekarkar. He could simply poke in some type of pointy tool, this kush, this rod, or bekarkar, this pointy tool. As we learned in the Mishnah, even though they're a klishu malachta le'isser, but he's using it for a heter purpose. So he can poke it through the muktzah. There's no concern because his intention is not to actually move the muktzah. It's considered to be indirectly moving the muktzah. He's simply trying to get to the item buried within. And the muktzah substance simply falls off on its own. Omar of Nachman, Omar halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Tadoy. So Nachman says that the halacha is, we pass like k'Rav Elazar ben Tadoy, and this indirect moving of muktzah is mutter. Says the Gemara, is that so? L'me'imra, the sovereign of Nachman, are you going to say, Rav Nachman holds, a tiltu min atzad, lo yishmei tiltu, that moving something indirectly is not considered to be a tiltu regarding muktzah. V'Omar of Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman say, hi pugla, this radish which is buried in the earth. So it depends how it's positioned. Now the radish is wide on top and narrow on bottom. So if it's sitting there the way appropriately, milamala lamata, so if the top, which is wide, is actually on top, right by on the surface of the earth, and it's facing downward, so the top is wide and then it narrows, milamala lamata shari, and there's no issue, you can pull it out because he doesn't need to move any earth. However, if it's overturned, if it's imata lamala, if the bottom, which is the narrow portion of the radish, is lamala, is overturned, is upward, in which case you have the radish sitting in the ground like this, like a pyramid, and there's afar, there's earth around it, right? So only the tip is exposed, but the wider portion is supporting the afar. So in order for him to get it out, he's going to have to, when he pulls the tip, he's going to have to lift the earth together with it. Milamata lamala, then it's asur. Now, here it's a tiltu min atzad, because he's indirectly moving the afar. He's holding on to the radish, holding on to the afar. So we see that even in this case, it's asur, it's muktzah. So we have a conflict, a stira, between this Rav Nachman who says asur, and previously Rav Nachman paskin the rule like Rav Elazar and Tadoy regarding the heter of pulling out the fig from beneath the muktzah. Apparently he holds tiltu min atzad as mutter. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman changed his mind, he reverted from that statement, which he said that tiltum atzad is asr by the radish. Rather, he holds that indirect moving of muktzah is mutter. Chachamim apparently only prohibited muktzah when it's a direct contact, a direct use. But if it's something just indirect and incidental, that's not included in the isser of muktzah. He's not really using the muktzah. He's not associated with the muktzah directly. Continues the Gemara. Machas hayad lutelba esakoitz. So Mishnah discussed using a sewing needle to extract a splinter. Shalach le Rava brei de Rava l'Rav Yosef. So Rava, the son of Rava, sent a question to Rav Yosef. Yilamdein Rabbeinu, teach us our Rebbe. What about a machat shenitel charora oy uktzah? Let's say you have a sewing needle, and we have the charora, which is her hole. Charora is lashon of chayr, so the eye. Uktzah is the pointy side. So what if we have this sewing needle whose eye or point was clipped off? Mao, what is the halacha there? Can one move it on Shabbos? Is it still considered a kli? Or does the din of the kli become bottle, nullified? And therefore it's muktzah. Amar Leisi said simple, Tanisua, we learned about it in a Mishnah. Mach, ashayad, l'tabaz ha-koitz. One may go ahead and move the sewing needle in order to extract the splinter. What difference does it make to the splinter? Bein nekuva, whether this needle is pierced, bein she'ein nekuva, or whether it's not pierced. So even if it's missing its eye, it's still useful for the purpose of getting out the splinter. If so, let it still be regarded as a kli, and one can move it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Eisvei. So he asked the Makasha from the following halacha. Machat shenitel charora yuktza tahira. So if we have this machat, this needle, which the charora or the uktza, meaning the eye or the point, were clipped off, it's tahir. It's no longer regarded as a kli. It's not makabel tuma. So we see that when it's missing its eye, it's not a kli. So let it be regarded as muktza. It's useless. Amar Abaye, tuma Shabbos karamis. How could you ask a kasha from the halacha of tuma to the halacha of Shabbos? They're two different contexts, and they work with different guidelines. Tuma, when it comes to tuma, kli ma'isa binan. The pasuk says that it needs to be a kli ma'isa, a kli of functioning ability. And as Rashi points out, kli ma'isa means shemasa shaloi kayim. Its function is still intact. It can still be used for the tashmish, which was intended for. The masa shaloi, its intended purpose, intended function, it still exists. As opposed to this sewing needle, which no longer has its eyes, no longer fit for its defined purpose. However, when it comes to Shabbos, any function is sufficient. Linyan Shabbos, we did the chazibinan. We need something which is useful, which is suitable for something. Vahanami chazia. This as well, this needle which is missing its eye, it's still chaziyat, it's still suitable mishkel abekavakoyts to remove with it a splinter. So it's not considered to be useless. It has a din of a kli, and therefore Rav Yosef was correct in his response that even when it's missing the eye, it is regarded as a kli. Amar Rava, Rava disagreed. He said, Manda kamoisiv shaba kamoisiv. The one who asked the kasha asked well. Yes, midilinia tuma lav manu. Since we see when regarding tuma, it's not considered a kli. It's not makabel tuma when it's missing its eye. Then in Shabbos nami lav manu. Likewise, when it comes to Shabbos, it's not a kli. It's a broken needle. It's not a kli. Says the Gemara meisivei. So the Gemara is the kasha on Rav. Machat. Bein nekuva, bein shein nekuva, mutal tatl v'shabbos. So the Braisa says that a machat, whether it was pierced, whether it's not pierced, one may move it on Shabbos. But lo yomer nekuva, elul nitum v'vad. The concept of a pierced needle having some sort of advantage was only strictly regarding the halacha of tumah. Only then is it mekabel tumah. When it comes to Shabbos, it's irrelevant whether it's pierced or unpierced. It's still considered a kli. So we see that Shabbos is not meant to be connected to Tumma. So it's a kashan Rav. Says Gemara, Tirgum Abaye, Aliba de Rav. So Abaye interpreted this price, he answered, according to Rav's Shita. So he's coming to answer Rav. What is a pshat in this price, which tells us that the unpierced needle is still regarded as a kli? Begoil miaskinon. We're speaking about a goylem. A goylem means an unfinished product. Like the goylem of Prague, he was unfinished. He couldn't speak. He didn't have the power of speech. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos speaks about the attributes, the shivadvarim begoylem, who doesn't have a proper midah. He's an unrefined fellow. He's not a complete person. So we're speaking about incomplete needles. Meaning we have these strips of metal which are waiting, which are, stand to be pierced. In which case, it's not considered to be a proper kli for tumma, because in order for a kli to become a tumma, it needs to be nigmar malachta, the work, the fashioning, the forming of the kli needs to be completed, needs to be finished. Now this goylem, this piece of metal, which is awaiting piercing, is considered to be an unfinished product and not makabel tumma. However, when it comes to Shabbos, there's a difference. Why? Zimnin, because at times the mimlach alayu, he will change his mind, he will decide on them, meaning he will decide to use them, umash vilu mana. He will decide to use them as a kli, as is, unpierced, to remove splinters. So in this case, although for tumma, it's not makabel tumma, because it's an unfinished kli, and it's not serving its defined purpose, its defined function, which is for sewing. As opposed to Shabbos, since it can serve in any capacity, he'd like to use it perhaps for a removal of a splinter. So since it has that potential, one can designate it for that purpose. Even now it's considered to be a kli for Shabbos. So that's over the end of Bryce. Avol hecha denita charora oiktsa. But if you have a complete needle, which got damaged, the charora, its eye or uktza, its pointy part clipped off, so it's a broken thing. Adam zerkel bringer toys. One simply throws it away into the amongst the scrap, and therefore the din kli is bottle. The utensil status of it, this utensil status becomes nullified, and therefore according to Rava, it is Mukta on Shabbos. So you have that distinction between an unfinished kli, which is considered a kli for Shabbos, as opposed to a broken kli, which is not. So in summary, if we have a machat, this needle which does not have an eye, so when it comes to halacha of mekabel tumah, what the pasuk says, kli masa, has to be serving its designated function, has to be considered a complete kli. So it doesn't matter why it's missing its eye, whether it's gold-made, speaking about an unfinished kli, or whether it was already previously completed, but nital choyra, the choyra got clipped off, it's not makabel tumah, as opposed to Shabbos. So in that case, if the choyra got clipped off, then we have a machlekes. According to Rav Yosef, it's still considered a kli because it can still serve in a capacity, it can still mishamish the person, it can still remove a splinter. According to Rava, a broken needle is not reckoned with, it's bottle, it's nullified, it's not a kli. But if we're speaking about an unfinished needle, goymei, in that case, all agree, since it has that potential to be used for a splinter remover, all agree that when it comes to Shabbos, it's considered to be a kli. Continues the Gemara. Asubi yinuka. What is the halacha regarding straightening out the limbs of the newborn child? As she says, when he's born, his avarim get out of place, you need to adjust everything, put back in place. Can you do that on Shabbos? Rav Nachman, Oyser, Rav Nachman said it's also Rav Sheshes Shari. Rav Sheshes allows. Om Rav Nachman, I'll bring you a right that it's also. Rashi explains why is it also? Because it's dummy lemasakin, it appears as though he's fixing the child, so it's also. Rav Nachman brings a raya to this. How do I know this then? This nan, as we went to the Mishnah, ein oisin, apik toizin b'Shabbos. So one may not drink this this liquid to go ahead and cause himself to throw up. Rashi says to make room for more food. So this is the process called apik toizin. He can't do that on Shabbos. Now, although it's not a refuah, nevertheless, it's aser apparently, because it appears like Misakin Gavra, Rashi says. He's repairing, he's fixing himself. So this too is considered to be Asr. Likewise, when it comes to the Asubi Yinuka, straining out his limbs, it's Asr. So that's the Raya of Rav Nachman. Response of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes. Hosam Lav Urche. The apoptosis, which causes the vomiting, that's not Urche, that's not his Derech, that's not something which is which is common practice, it's not needed. So therefore, it's also, it's considered to be Masakin. Hocha Urche. However, this Asubi Yinuka, this is his Derech, it's his requirement, it's vital for him. Rashi says, it's as though he's feeding him and giving him to drink. That's not regarded as Masakin. It's considered to be just ordinary function. And therefore, it's Mutter. Omer Rav Sheshes Buna Min Allah. How do I know my opinion? I'll support my position from the following Mishnah. This Nan is going to the Mishnah, Machat Shal Yad. One can use the needle, little Ba'as HaKoitz, to remove a splinter. So apparently, even though he's removing the splinter from the person's body, he's fixing him, it's okay. Because it's not a refuah. And it's not an Isser. There's no Isser of it looks like he's fixing him. So likewise, when it comes to the child, he can straighten out his limbs. Rav Nachman, Rachman responds as follows. You can't equate the two things. Hasam pocket. In the case of the splinter, it's pocket. It's embedded in the person. You're simply removing a foreign object, a foreign entity, which is embedded in a person. You're not actually doing something to the person himself, as opposed to the straightening out of the kid's limbs. Hacha, in our case, like pocket. It's not something embedded. He's actually straightening out the baby's ivarim. He's restructuring, he's putting back in place. In this case, it looks like a masakin, and therefore it is asr. Continues the Mishnah. Konish al zeisim. So we have this tube which was used for the olives. What happens? They used to pile up the olives so that they warm up and it helps them get ready for the pressing process. So he wants to go check. He wants to see if they're ready to be pressed. So he has this kana, this hollow tube, which he uses to tamper with the zeisim. And the Gemara will tell us some of the oil gets, if the olives are ready for pressing, then some of the oil which oozes out will actually get trapped in the kana itself. And this will be an indication that the time has come. So kana shel zeisim, this tube used for the zeisim, imesh kesha b'roisha, if there's a knot at the tip, so if we're speaking about a natural bamboo, so these natural knots, and as the Gemara will say, this forms a plug in the actual hollow bamboo and actually allows some of the oil to linger in there. So it forms as a cavity. But the Gemara will discuss it. So if there's a kesha b'roisha, if there's a knot at the head of it, mekabel tumu, it's considered to be a proper kli and it's mekabel tumu. V'im lav, but otherwise, ain't mekabel tumu because it's not considered to be suitable for its function. And it's not a kli for Kabbalah's tumma. Benkach or benkach. Either way, whether or not it has that thick head to it, nitzal b'Shabbos, it can move on Shabbos, because we regard it as a kli when it comes to Shabbos, because it's still conserving it in some capacity. So although it can't go ahead and he can't sample the oil with it, but if he chooses to use a kana without a kesher, apparently he's going to determine the status of the olives visually. So he's going to turn it over and then he's going to take a look at it. So, either case, it's considered to be a kli with regard to Shabbos and it's not muktzah. Continues the Gemara. Amai, we spoke about this kana, this tube that has a kesha b'roishoi, that it's mekabel tuma. Why is it mekabel tuma? Just because it has a thick head? Pshuti kli eitzu. It's considered to be like a flat, meaning it's not a receptacle, it's not a container. And in order for kli eitz, a wooden kli to have a den of Kabbalah's tumah, it needs to have the capacity, the ability to be mekabel something within it. Upshute kliyetz einon mekabel tumah. A pshute kliyetz which is not a container is not mekabel tumah. My time, why? Tumi the sak binim, because the Torah lists together the wooden kelim with the sak, and we learn that it's meant to be have a similar in similar fashion to a sak. A sak is a sack which has the ability to contain within it. Likewise, in order for a kli eitz, mekabel tumah has to have the ability to contain. So why is this kana, which seems not to have that capacity, mekabel tumah? Says the Maratana, Mishmei Dor Nechemya, B'sho Shemahapach B'zeisim. So when he overturns those alas, he turns over this kana, takes a look at it, and takes a look at the kana, meaning that there is some sort of cavity. So this plug on top of it actually forms some sort of cavity, which has the ability to receive some of the oil. So when he overturns the zesim, some of the if the zesim are ready to be pressed, it's going to be some oil oozing out, which will get trapped into the cavity on top of the kana. In which case, obviously this kana is a makabel. It's a kli which is makabel, has the ability to receive, and therefore it's makabel tuma. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi, I mean, kol hakelim mitolim. All types of kelim can be moved on Shabbos. Speaking about even kli shel melacha le'iser, designated for melacha purpose, in which case you can move it for certain reasons, as we spoke earlier. But that is only by other kelim. There are some kelim that cannot be moved absolutely ever, because as we discussed earlier, they are designated by the owner for their specific function. They're fragile, they're delicate, they're called mukta machmas on account of chisorin kis, of losing property, of losing their value, on account of hefset. The Mishnah will give us some examples, the Gemara will actually add to the list. So again, Rabbi Yossi says, all kelim can be moved except chutz min ha-masar gadol, this large saw, v'yosef shemachresha, this part of the plow, which actually, the Rashi calls it the... It looks like a kli gadol, also a kisakin, like a knife, which is it's a sharp part used in the plowing process. So this generates the furrows. So these are fragile, these are delicate, and one designates it for its purpose and for nothing else. And therefore, he cannot use these on Shabbos at all. The Gemara will proceed and give us another couple of examples of this category. Omar of Nachman, hay uchla de katsri. So this kli, this type of bowl, which is used by the launderers, that is also regarded ki yosef shemach reisha damya, that has the din of al yosef shemach reisha mentioned in the Mishnah, which is muktzah machmas chesar and kis. It's set aside for its use and for nothing else. Amar Abaye, he's going to add another three examples. Charba de ushkefi, this knife used by the shoemakers, v'sakina dashkavta, and this knife of the butchers, v'chatzina denagri, this type of axe used by the carpenters. These as well are ki yoseh shemachresha dami. They have the din of the yoseh shemachresha, and they're absolutely muktzah on Shabbos, never to be used for even machmas gufay, for a permissible use. Tana rabbana b'rishoina, initially back in history. So this was, as she says, during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, in time of Nechemya b'mechachlaya. The Gemara later will tell us why they did this, made this gzera initially. They were very strict when it came to moving kelim on Shabbos. So Gemara tells us that this was on account of their laxness in melachas of Shabbos. They didn't observe Shabbos properly. They were doing melachas. So Chachamim went ahead and acted very stringent isurim, takonis, limited their ability to move around the items, so that this will raise the awareness, will spur them on to improve in their shmiras and observance of Shabbos. So they employed very strict rules. Bereshayna initially hayu aimrim. So they would say, shloisha kelim mitol b'Shabbos. You can only move three kelim on Shabbos. What are they? Miktzei shel dveila, a knife used in the for the dried figs. Vezuam alistron shel kedera. So this was a some type of spoon used to remove the zuama, the waste of the kedera of this of the pot, v'sakin ktana shal gav ha-shulchan, and the small knife used on one's table. So Rashi explains that these things were commonly used. The Chachamim allowed them to move around at least these items. Now Tosis points out here, and of course we're not speaking about kelim which have the ability to contain, for instance, kaisos, ka'arais, sloichias, cups, plates, bowls. These aren't containers. These certainly were not included in the Isser. We're speaking about something which does not have the ability to contain. So the Chacham limited the Heter specifically to only these three things. But nothing else can be moved on Shabbos. Even the Kli, which is not designated for Malacha. They were very strict. They wanted to raise the awareness of Shabbos, to restrict, and to highlight the point that one is meant to be restricted on Shabbos, and not go ahead and do Malachis. So only these things were Mutter. Now, it actually accomplished its goal. It did raise the awareness, And this allowed the Chachamim to downgrade. And this happened incrementally, in stages. Continues the Gemara, Hitiru. So when they saw that the Shabbos observance was improving, they went ahead and they were matir more things. Then they went a step further, V'chazav Yitiru, they allowed even more. And then V'chazav Yitiru, they allowed even more. Ah, until they got to the point that they said, Acha Amru, like we have in our Mishnah, Kol HaKel Matom B'Shabbos, all types of Kelim can be moved on Shabbos, Chutzim and Masra Gadol, V'yosed Shal Machresh, except for those two things which are fragile and delicate, in which the owner is makvid not to use them for other purposes. Those things cannot be moved, even Letzarech Gufay, for permissible use. So this is the Brisa. Let's analyze the Brisa. The various stages, there was the initial stage, and then the subsequent stage, and many stages following, where there were different levels of heter applied to mukta. Says the Gemara, Mayi tiru, v'chazir v'tiru, v'chazir v'tiru. What does this mean? How do we understand all these stages? What happened along the way? Amar Abaye is as follows. Initially, they made that all across the board, Isser, you cannot be metal to anything except for those three things mentioned. Then they saw that their goal was being achieved, and Shmir Shabbos was improving. So it came time to matir a bit more, to loosen the belt a bit more. Hitiru. So they were matir what? Dovah shemalachti leheter. A kli which is used for heter. Letzarech gufay. But they were only matir in a limited form. If he wants to use the letzarech gufay for the sake of the kli, meaning for the sake of the use of the kli, to use it for a permissible use. But not, for instance, letzarech mekoymai. If he needs to vacate the space of the kli, he needs the makam of the kli, they limited it. You can only use the letzarech gufay. The next stage was that they were matir. They allowed even further. Even if you don't actually need a kli, you just need the makam of kli, you can move the kli as well. The next stage was they went ahead and they were matir more. Even a dovah shemalachta leiser, even a kli which is designated for malacha purposes, you can be metalta that as well. Letzorech gufay in, letzorech makam loy. But only if you intend on using the kli itself, wants to use it for a permissible use, for instance, taking the hammer to crack nuts. But not letzorech makaymai. Not if you simply need the makam of the kli. There's no allowance when we are speaking about a kli shemalachta leiser. Ve'adayin. Even so, there was still a limit. Meaning, even these allowances came along with strings attached. Ve'yodei achas in. Only if they're small enough to be handled by one hand. B'shtei yodav loy, but if they're large kelim, they're heavy kelim that he needs to transport with two hands, he cannot do so. They're considered to be out of reach, they're considered to be set aside, considered to be mukta. Acha amru, until the final stage came along and they said, kol ha-kelim tolom b'Shabbos. So all these kelim that we discussed can be moved on Shabbos, whether it's the kli shemalachta leheter, letzarech gufay and mekaymai, whether the kli shemalachta leiser, letzarech gufay, right? Those two things. They can be moved, afilu b'shtei yadayim, even if they're large enough, heavy enough, that two hands are required, it is mutter. So in summary, according to Abaye, at the end of the day, what can you move? You can move a kli shemalachta leheter, for the sake of using the kli letzarech gufay, or for the sake of having the space, letzarech mekaymai. But you can't move it for a different purpose. Let's say you're trying to protect the kli. Sitting in the sun, you want to take it into the shade, you can't do that. Only if you actually have a use of the kli or the space of the kli. Regarding the dovah shemalachta leiser, that's even more limited. You can go ahead and move it, but only the tzarech gufay, if you actually need the kli itself, but not the tzarech mekayim. And at most, you can move a kli which you can handle yourself. And even though you need two hands for it, it's not mukta. But suppose it's so heavy that you need two people to carry it, it would seem from Abaye, it would be aser. So we have three restrictions. We have the kli shemalachta leheter, which cannot be moved from the sun to the shade. We have the kli shemalachta leiser, which can't even be transported, letzorech mekoymai. And at most, it needs to be, it can't be heavier than what one person can handle on his own. So this is Abaye's approach. Amali Rava. Rava says, I don't understand. This distinction between the use of gufay and the use of mekoymai, they go together. You can't split the two. Michti, let's analyze. Hitiru k'tani. The Brisa says, Hitiru, b'chazir hitiru, mali letzarech gufay, mali letzarech mekoymai. What difference does it make if he's doing it for the sake of using the kli itself, or for the sake of its mekoym? It doesn't seem from the Brisa that there's room to differentiate between one and the other. Both of them are considered to be equally important, equally using the kli. Let's not make a chilek between gufay and mekoymai. Ela Marava. Says Rava as follows. This is how these stages went. So initially, they were very stringent, right? They only allowed those three kalim. Then they saw when the crowd was improving and their observance of Shabbos, so they found room to be matir a bit more. Hitiru, what was that? What was the first stage? Dava shemalachti leheter. So they began with a dava shemalachti leheter. Beil tzarech kufay, beil tzarech mekaymay. What they needed for the kli itself, or they need the space of the kli. So we went to Rava, there's no difference between one and the other. V'chazer etiru, this was the next stage, which they allowed even more. Mecham latzel, even taking it from the sun to the shade, meaning for the sake, for the benefit of the kli itself. That was also allowed. Even though he is not deriving personal benefit right now, he's not using it, it's okay. V'chazer etiru, then they will mount even a bit more. Adava shemlachte le'isser, even something which is designated for isser. Letzarech kufa, letzarech mekami. So once again, there's no difference between gufa and mekami, whether he needs it for the makami of the kli, or he needs to use the kli itself, it's mutter. So letzarech kufa and letzarech mekami in, yes. Mecham letzeloi. However, if he's simply trying to salvage the kli, taking it from sun to shade, it's also. Because he's not actually deriving immediate benefit from it, it's not considered to be mishtamash of the kli. That much they did not allow. It's merely transporting stuff that's going overboard. Va'adayin, still, even at this point, there was still some restriction. Ba'adam echad in. Only if it can be transported by one person, yes. B'shnei bi'adam loy. But if it's large and heavy, that two people need to transport it, that they did not allow. Ah, until they came to the final stage, she'amru, in which they said, kol ha'kelim tom b'shabbos. All the kelim that we just mentioned can be moved on Shabbos. Afilu b'shnei bnei adam, even if they're large enough that two people are required to move them, it is not muktzeh. So let's take a quick summary here of the two approaches regarding bimetaltel kli on Shabbos. So at the end of the day, according to Abayi, a kli shemalachti leheter also has restrictions. You cannot move it from the chama to the tzel. It's only if he has personal hanah from it, if it's for his own shimush right now, a gufoy mekayim, but he's simply trying to salvage, protect the kli, that's not allowed. Likewise, according to Abayi, if it needs to be transported by two people, that's considered to be muktzah, that's designated, that's set aside. It's not your typical kli, which is considered to be like ordinary kli, which is meant to be moved around. It's meant to stay in one place. It's set aside. That was not included in the heter. According to Rava, there's no restriction when it comes to kli shemalachti leheter. You can move it, whether it's for the sake of using it, sake of preserving the kli, and even if it's large enough that two people need to transport it. There's a heter there as well. What about a kli shemalachti le'isser? So going to Abayi, it's a chiddush here. That only letzarech gufoy, if he needs the actual kli itself, can he move it. But letzarech mekoymai, for the space of the kli, that's not considered to be a considerable enough function. Chacham did not allow in that case. According to Rava, it's mutter whether it's the tzarech gufoy or the tzarech mekayim. The only time there's a restriction is if he doesn't actually need a kli. He's merely moving it mecham itself from sun to shade, in which case he's not actually using a kli, and it's us. Now all agree that a kli, which is mukta machmas chisorin kis, on account of its liability, of the fact that it's fragile and delicate, all agree that it's usr, can't move it, the tzarech gufoy or mekayim, certainly not mecham itself. And we have an example, we have a list of several kalim mentioned earlier, which fit that category. Continues the Gemara. So, regarding again a kli shemalachti l'isser, Abayi maintains it can only be moved with tzarech gufay, and according to Rava, even with tzarech mekami, esvi Abayi. So Abayi asked the makasha in the following price. This is the meducha we discussed earlier, the mortar, im yesh bashum, if there is garlic present within it, metalat noise, you can move it. Vim lav, otherwise, ain't metalat noise, you cannot move it. Now, says Abayi, okay, according to me, I can interpret this brisa very simply. This brisa doesn't allow because, we're speaking about, he doesn't need the meducha itself, tzarech gufay. He's merely trying to vacate it, trying to get the space beneath it, in which case it's aser. That's what I hold. The kli shemalachti l'isser can't be moved, tzarech mekayim. But according to you, there's no restriction. He can move it whether he needs the kli, whether he needs the space of the kli. So why does this brisa say it's aser? Says the Gemara, Hachemaya Skinen. You know what we're speaking about? Mechamel Etzel. He doesn't need the kli, nor does he need the space. He's simply moving it from sun to shade. He's merely preserving the kli, in which case, even Rav agrees that it's Moktzeh, he can't move it. Esve, so we asked the Makasha from the other halacha, Veshavin, Vesham, but still both agree. Shem Katzav of Basar, this is speaking of that board, that thick board, which is Muktzah. So if he already used it to chop his meat, so Asar Tatla all agree that it's Asar, he can't move it. Once again, says Abai, why is it Asar? So apparently he's trying to move it with Sarach Mekaymai. So according to me, I understand why it's Asar, but according to you, why is it Asar? Says Zimar Chanami, here as well, Mecham Latzel. Well, speaking of that, he's moving it from the Chama to the Tzel. He's preserving the Kli, in which case, even according to Rav, it's Asar. Omer B'chanina, B'mei Nechemya, Mechaklaya, Nishnas Mishnazu. So this Bryce earlier, which gave us that whole presentation, the whole history behind the various stages of the Takan of Muktzah, was taught in the days of Nechemya, in the days of the second Beis Hamikdash, Tichsiv, as it says, V'yom Mahema Re'isi B'Yehuda, Dorichem Gitais B'Shabbos. They were actually pressing in the Gitais, in the wine presses on Shabbos. They were doing Malachim, Mevim HaRemos, bringing the piles. So the result of their laxity in Kedushas Shabbos and Shmir Shabbos, the Chacham need to impose severe restrictions to drive home the point how important Shabbos is. Right, so that's what happens when sometimes things are overboard. You need to go ahead and act extra gzeiros for the time being to teach that message, bring home that point. And it was meant to achieve the goal of Shmir Shabbos, which it ultimately did, as we see that as they improved in their observance, the Chacham allowed the downgrading of these restrictions. Continues the Gemara. Omer Blazer. We have four halachas. Rashi calls them four mishnas. Konin umaklois glustro meducha. So all these four, two of them are actually mishnas, two are brises. These four, which contain restrictions which seem to be above and beyond the standard restrictions of muktzah applied today. Kulam, all those koidem atoras kelim nishnu, all those were cited, were learned, were taught prior to the point where the chacham were matir tiltul kelim, meaning it referred to the time of Nechemya, where the chacham imposed severe restrictions due to the laxity of Tisha Shabbos. So that's why we understand why those Isurim were applied. Let's see. Says the Gemara Kanan. What is the example of the Kanan, these tubes, the Snanas, not in the Mishnah? Loi Sidur Akanam, Vloi Nitilos, and Dechas HaShabbos. So he's speaking about the Kanan, the tubes used by the Lechem Apanim. So he's to pile up the, stack up the Lechem Apanim. And he's to place Kanan, these tubes in between, to allow the air to circulate to maintain freshness. Now, the Lechem HaPanim was switched over on Shabbos. It's to bring the fresh bread and take out the old bread. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yisidur HaKanim. Not the setting up of the tubes, Lo Yisidur nor their removal, Deichas HaShabbos. It's Deichas HaShabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos. So what do? They have to go in Erev Shabbos, remove the tubes from between the Lechem. On Shabbos, they would switch over the Lechem. They would have no tubes between them, and by Tzoyah Shabbos, they will go ahead and place the Kanim in their proper location. Now the question here is, these tubes, they're not Muktzah, they're Klishul Melach Lehetar. So why is there a restriction? Apparently, this Mishnah was taught, this Halacha was taught in that stage, in that era, that point in history, where the Chachamim employed very severe restrictions pertaining to moving items on Shabbos, and therefore it's us. What is number two? Maklois. The snan, as we went to the Mishnah, maklis dakin v'chalokin, these thin, smooth sticks, hayusham, were present there in the Azorah. This was on Erev Pesach. U'manich al-kseifoi v'al-kesef chaveri. So you would take the stick, place it from his shoulder, and the other side on his friend's shoulder. So it would extend from one shoulder to the other. V'toy l'mavshid, he would hang up the Karb Pesach, and flay it, and move the skin in that manner. Omer b'lezer, arbos ha-shecholis b'shabbos. What happens if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? He can't use those sticks. So what else does he do? There's an alternate route. Maniach yodoy al kesef chaver. So instead of sticks, he uses hands. He puts his hand al kesef chaver on his friend's shoulder. V'yad chaveroy al ksefo. And his friend's hand on his shoulder. V'toy l'mafshit. He hangs up the animal and his mafshit flays it in this manner. So he can't use those sticks. Why? These things are amalachti leheter. So apparently, it was during that era that this isser was applied. What is the third example? Glustera. The snan, as we learned in the Mishnah. It's actually three of them are Mishnahs. It's neger Nagar Sheesh Broisa Glustra. So Nagar is this bolt used to hold the door shut. So they have this Nagar Sheesh Broisa Glustra, who has a glustra, this knob on its tip. And Rashi says it can be used for grinding as a pestle. So this kli, which is Malachi Lesser, designated for Malacha. Now he wants to go ahead and use it for the sake of this door. What does he do? Rabbi Shua, Imam Shantam Pesach Seh. Let's say he wants to transport it from one door to the other. What does he do? And he has to go through the courtyard. So Rabbi Shua says he can't carry it directly. Shantam Pesach Seh, he knocks it off from this door, Vetel B'chaver, B'Shabbos, and hangs it on the other door on Shabbos. So Rashi explains that he drags it. He doesn't do it directly, without directly carrying it. Why not? Even though it's Malachti Le'isr, it's designated for Malacha, but he's using the Tzarech Gufay. He's using it for the sake of the... He's using the Kli. He's using the Kli itself. It's a Tzarech Gufay for a permissible function. So you see, there's an Isser, even in that case. Retire for Neymar, there's no concern here. It's regarded like the other Kalim, Metalta B'chatzar, and one can directly transport it to the Chatzar. So we see, in any case, according to Bishua, we restrict something which is generally not restricted. Apparently, it was referring to that era in history. Finally, number four is Meducha, the price of Meducha, Damar. As we said earlier, we cannot transport that mortar, even though he needs it. He needs the Tzarech Kufa, he wants to sit on it. It's also, apparently, it was said during that point in history. Amar Rabba. Rabba responded as follows. Mimai, how do you know that this is the basis, the reason for the Isser? Dilma, perhaps, Lo'ilam Emlach, I'll tell you, La'achar HaTolos Kehen Mishnu. And all four halachas were actually taught after the Chachamim downgraded, they applied Heter to be Metaltel Kehen. And there's a separate reason for each halacha. Why the Rasser? Unrelated to that Gzera during the time of Nehemiah. Explains Rabba. Konim, what's the restriction regarding the tubes of lechem upon them? Time am I? Why would they need it? Mishum epushi, on account of preventing spoilage. By purta lemiapish, this little short amount of time, a couple of hours from Shabbos to Matzah Shabbos, it won't get spoiled. There's no need to transport these tubes. Makleis, why can't you move those? Use those sticks on Erev Pesach? Shikur Belezer, because there's an alternative route. There's Reb Lezer's a solution. Just use your hands. Glustra, what about the case of that nagar, that bolt? What's wrong with moving that? Because Reb Yanai, it's unrelated to Muktzah. The reason is like Reb Yanai said. Don't Reb Yanai. Bechotzesh enim revez askinah. We're speaking about transporting it through a courtyard which has no Erev. So it has no Erev Chatzeris, where the owners of the Chatzer combined their ownership. So one may not be metaltal a kli from the bayis, which is a privately owned domain, to the Chatzer, which is considered to be a shared area. It's like taking from Shesayach Shesarab. So unless there's an Erev Chatzeris, which combines the ownership of the Chatzer, you can't transport from the bayis to the Chatzer. So speaking about a Chatzer which has no Erev. So what's the problem? Rabbi Yeshua does not allow carrying the Nagar. He holds. This nagar, which is found within the doorway, it appears like it's in the house. And therefore it appears, when he would transport it through the chatzar, it appears as though, he's carrying the mana debatim utensil of the home in the chatzar, and it's not allowed. Therefore, he says he must drag it, he can't carry it directly. It's a chiddush that, since it's not directly carrying its mutter. Rav Tarif Masavar, there's no concern. This nagar, which is found in the doorway, it's as if it's sitting in the chatzar. Umana the chatzar, a utensil kli of the chatzar, which is found in the chatzar, but chatzar come atatl, he's carrying it through the chatzar. He's not taking something from the bayis to the chatzar. There's no concern, but it's unrelated to mukta. Finally, meducha. What about transporting? Why can't he take that mortar to sit on it? Ramechemiahi. That bayis is Ramechemia, mentioned earlier, who applies severe restrictions on Shabbos. One can only move a utensil for the sake, for its defined purpose. The tzorach tashmishay. Use a meducha to sit on it, that's not called tashmisha yamayuchod, that's not its designated defined purpose, and therefore you cannot transport it for that purpose. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a klisha malachti l'isser, which is designated for malacha purpose. It can be metaltlet, but tzarech gufay, if he needs the kli itself for a permissible function. What about a kli which is fragile and delicate, muktzimach tzarein kis, it's aser. It's designated for its malachas isser, not to be used for anything else. We discussed the halacha of total min atzad, indirect moving of muktzah. We have achlekes. The Gemara spoke about a machat, a sewing needle which is missing its eye. So when it comes to tumah, it's not makabel tumah. It's not suitable for its defined function. When it comes to Shabbos, then if it's golmei, meaning it's an unfinished needle, all agree, it's considered to be a kli because it can be used potentially to remove a splinter. If it's a needle whose eye got clipped off, according to Rav Yosef, it's still a kli because it's usable for the splinter. According to Rava, it's batel, it's no longer regarded as a kli. He tosses it amongst the scraps, it's not a kli. We learned that machlekes regarding straightening out the limbs of the newborn, whether it's considered to be like feeding and drinking and giving him to drink, or it's considered to be a tikkun or a tzasser. We learned about being metal to lakli, if it's melachta laheter, used for a permissible function. According to Abaye, there is a surim, taking it to the shade, or if it's too large for one person. According to Rabbi, there's no restriction here. When it's a klishu melachta laiser, according to Abaye, he cannot move it letzorech mekoymai, if he only needs the space, according to Rabbi. He can. The only time he can't, if he's moving it to the shade for the sake of the kli. And finally, a kli, which is muktzeh machaser and kis, there's no hetera at all, because it's designated for its prohibited use, not meant to be used for anything else. And finally, we end up with the four halachos and two approaches of how to interpret them.